Welcome back once again to the Health Masters Show, bringing you the worldwide news and health research.
What happened to Ted and Austin Brewer Show?
I changed it up a little bit.
Oh.
I wanted to change it up some. Of course, you can find us on the Brewer Show, where we're at every single day, which we're presenting right now to you guys on Gab, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Rumble, every platform, or you can just watch it right on BrewerShow.com. And if you really want to get the best update on it, click here, put your name, email address, sign up for the Brewer Show and Health Masters News Report, and you'll get all the daily updates, sales sheets, product specials, kits, everything. You get it all. Hulk, kit, and caboodle. $0.
You can also, at the Brewer Show, there's no commercials because, you know, that one thing puts commercials on it, which we don't get paid for, by the
Rumble way. Rumble and a bunch of other ones, they inject their commercials, and you can fast forward them on here. I've had some people ask me about them. I can't do anything about it. That's just what we have to actually have a premium service on there because of the bandwidth. But, of course, you could go right here on the Brewer Show and watch all the shows with zero commercial interruptions every day.
I love these pictures that Mike puts up for us.
It's something different. It changes it up.
Every day.
Yeah. It says it breaks it up some. A lot of it we do is we input the topics, and then the AI creates a photo.
The AI creates a photo.
Well, I mean, it's better. You try to have somebody build a graphic photo every single day on there.
I think it looks great.
Yeah. That's the problem. And like I said, I think there's some aspects of AI that I can appreciate, the concept of making things more user-friendly and adaptable and faster. The problem is there's a very fine line between using AI as a tool and a crutch. And that's the problem that a lot of younger generations are starting to use now, is they're using AI for everything now. Their little assistant, their little cheat sheet at school.
A lot of the kids don't even write their own papers
now anymore. Well, now what's happened is now there's been counter platforms that professors are using. They'll input an entire basically paper into the platform, and AI will do a full scan on it and show if there's anything that's been written by AI. It recognizes itself, and it'll straight snitch on you.
We have a snitching AI.
AI paper. Fail. So that is coming about now. So, again, thank you guys for support. Thank you for the emails. Be sure to check out the Natokinase last day on sale.
You know, here's the thing. Again, I'm just going to say something here. If a kid is in college,
yeah,
and he needs to get some research done, and he has to find, you know, certain articles and certain literature, et cetera, and they use AI to pull that up.
That's different, though.
Okay. Yeah, I know. House is getting a lid. And now, I don't have a problem with that. Now, here's what I also don't have a problem with, and don't send me letters on this. If the kid uses the AI to give him a summary of the papers, all right?
Correct.
In other words, it writes up a paragraph on every paper.
Abstract.
Okay. And then they incorporate that abstract by using the information from that abstract into their own paper. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. Because that's no different than going in and doing basically a summary or an abstract out of a journal, using that abstract as a summary.
Then having somebody proofread it.
And have somebody proofread it. And what you do is you go through it three or four times and keep changing it if you're the kid and say, okay, here's the paper. And I had some research help. Because you have research assistants in college all the time.
Exactly right.
Professors have research assistants. I know when I write books, I would go in and I'd pull, you know, 40 or 50 different books that I would want to basically use as a reference. And I would have a person go in and do the research for me out of the books, write a basis out of that, put it into another book format. I would go and fully edit the book and fully rewrite it and basically change it and make it mine. But I wouldn't have to sit there and do the mundane, let's look on page 42 and write this paragraph down. Because that's what we had to do in college when I was in college. And because you go and get the Dewey Decimal System. Most of you never even heard of that. And you would basically go in and find a book in the library on some stack, some remote stack. And then there was a photocopier in the library. Okay, it was a nickel a piece. You had to put money to it. You had to feed it with nickels. And you would sit there. And trust me, after you try to transcribe a page, it was worth a nickel. Okay, and then you go back. So all of this research being done by AI, I don't have a problem with. It's just the person needs to make the paper their own. They don't need to just say, okay, AI, write me this paper and then turn it in.
That's exactly what they're trying to stop now. Because like you said, the research aspect and being able to correlate all these different topics together, that's one thing. But going in, yes, saying, ChatGPT, write me a 25-page paper on, you know, Tibet racehorses. And all of a sudden it goes out and writes you an entire paper on it. It's complete AI.
Well, let's do another notch. I'm on a PhD doctoral program.
Yeah.
And I have to write a 500-page dissertation. Write me a 500-page dissertation.
Yeah.
It pops out like 30 seconds.
With 500 references.
Saved me, you know, 10 years of work. That was nice. But you can't turn it in. It's not yours.
You can't turn that in.
Oh, by the way, something else you are excited about, and I'm excited about, the CDC has finally changed the childhood immunization schedule, removing universal recommendation for multiple shots at once.
Huge story.
This is a big deal, guys.
Cover this today.
This is that MMR vaccine. This is the big one. Measles, mumps, rubella. It was causing so much autism at 18 months. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, announced on Monday it is changing the childhood immunization schedule. The Federal Health Agency is removing the universal recommendation for multiple shots in what it calls an attempt to mirror the schedules of peer countries. You can call it whatever you want. I'm glad they're fixing it.
Yeah.
Instead of being universally recommended for almost all children at a certain age cutoff, vaccines are now split into three categories: vaccines for all children, vaccines for certain high-risk groups, and vaccines based on shared clinical decision-making between the parent and the doctor. Shared clinical decision-making is termed by CDC to apply to patients, and the parents and the doctor should talk to the providers about whether they should or not be vaccinated. That's a big deal, too, because the state of Florida now, we no longer have mandatory vaccines for children to go to school. That's a big deal.
Do we even have to get religious exemptions
anymore? Nope, not anymore. Not
Florida. Nothing.
Nope. Some of the vaccines and immunizations that are no longer universally recommended include the RSV, the flu, the COVID, as well as the hepatitis and the meningitis vaccine.
They're pulling the COVID shot off?
Mm-hmm. For not recommended, yep. And for children not in certain high-risk groups, no vaccine is recommended before the age of 2 months. None. Zero. Before the age of 2 months. It should be before the age of 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. The change comes after President Donald Trump signed a memo in early December last year directing the Health and Services Kennedy to examine how other nations structure their childhood vaccine schedules. The HHS officials say the change will not affect insurance coverage of vaccines. President Trump directed us to examine how other developed nations protect their children and take action if they are doing better. In other words, how to prevent autism. Kennedy said in a statement, after an exhaustive review of the evidence, we are aligning the U.S. childhood vaccine schedule with international consensus while strengthening transparency and informed consent. This decision protects children, respects families, and rebuilds trust in public health. He's right. You take a child. You got a healthy kid. 18 months old, he goes in. He gets injected. Now his lights go out. He has autism for the rest of his life. Now you as a parent say, okay, what just happened? Now you've lost trust in that doctor. Not only have you lost trust in the doctor, you can't sue the doctor because he's covered under the blanket guidelines. And so then you go, okay, well, then you go to another doctor. You got another kid. He turns 18 months. You inject him. Boom. He has autism. I've seen it. Don't tell me this hasn't happened. I've seen it happen. And also now you got two kids with autism. After the MMR shot at 18 months, and now you're mad as H.E. double sticks. Now you're mad the rest of your life.
Well, you're especially mad about it when they tell you, well, this is the mandated vaccine for the state. This child has to have these injections to do anything whatsoever, go to a daycare, go to school, be out in public. When they start that crap, that's where it really comes
into play. And then they tell you, oh, no, religious, you can't have
like California.
Hmm?
Yeah,
no religious exemptions.
Doesn't apply. Even medical exemptions are trying to remove that now. Well, if you have a medical exemption for the vaccine, they still want to force your child to get it.
I think somebody finally realized that nobody's going to be around in 30 years to take care of these autistic children if we don't stop this, because their parents are going to be gone. And what did Dolph Lundgren say the other day? He got married to a girl younger than him, and he goes, what difference does it make? After 100 years, we're all dead anyhow. Well, in 100 years, all the people who had all of these kids with all of these problems will be gone. And, you know, but if they have a generation, another generation, another generation, these children are going to be around by the millions that have autism. And they require a lot of care and a lot of work and a lot of supervision because, like Johnny does, you know, with my buddy Van, he's a ward for him. He likes to walk up to people and sucker punch them. He's now about 23, 24 years old. He's a big boy. And he can hit pretty hard. And I told Van, I said, you know, we've got him in here working out with him in the gym with us. I said, we probably don't need to do that. He's getting hit. He's hitting harder and harder and harder all the time. And the problem is he can't be reasoned with. He really can't be because he doesn't have the mental capacity to do that.
Here's the memo they put out. They said the administration is proud to announce the United States of America updated the childhood vaccination schedule. It's widely agreed upon by scientists and experts all over the world. Today, America will no longer require 72 jabs for our healthy children. We are moving to a far more reasonable schedule where all children will only be recommended to receive vaccinations for 11 of the most serious dangerous diseases. Parents can still choose to give their children all or none of the vaccines if they wish, and they will still be covered by insurance. However, the updated schedule finally aligns the United States with other developed nations around the world. And congratulations, HHS Secretary. Now, I will say this. I still think some of these shots are still too much in here. Still too new age. I still think it needs more form. That's my personal opinion. However, at least we're making progress towards the goalpost.
Okay, here's the thing. You know, I've got four kids.
Yeah.
Being the oldest, none of you guys are vaccinated.
Correct.
You know, and I remember we talked about this, Sharon and I did, before we had any kids. I said, I don't want to do this at all. Because I don't see any reason to inject a healthy child. And I had measles, I had mumps, I had chicken pox, I'm okay, and I have lifetime immunity to these things. Yeah. And so a lot of it has to do with the education of the parent, Austin.
That's true.
And how many books you've read and how many articles that you've read.
Well, and what this does now, the fact that this is actually getting approval, this what this does is this opens the topic for open discussion now with the entire population. Because for the last, what, I don't know, probably 20, 25, 30 years, as long as I can remember, vaccination discussions on open forums like taboo. You talk about your children getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated. It started up a whirlwind of drama.
You know, it's funny because I would do these seminars, you know, all over the country, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people at one time. And I'd be a keynote speaker. And I would be told repeatedly by the promoters of the seminars and on national radio and national TV shows that were simulcast,
yep,
don't bring up vaccines.
No, it's always been that topic. It's, you don't touch it.
You don't bring up autism. You don't, I mean, you don't bring it up. If you want to come back, you don't bring it up.
Yeah.
Now, then I started talking about aspartame.
Yep.
And how it causes brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, and optic nerve degradation. And then I was told by numerous stations, don't bring it up.
That up.
And then I started talking about statin drugs and what's going on with, you know, with cholesterol-lowering drugs. And I was told, don't bring that up. And I'm like, what the heck? Well, then I find out that all these manufacturers are advertising on all these shows.
Big money.
Well, it's like the other day I was talking to a friend of mine from Germany, and I told her, as we were talking about lawsuits, because, you know, we were talking about all the billboards that have all these attorneys everywhere.
Everything's a lawsuit.
You see, in Germany, they have what's called tort reform. They don't have that. If you sue somebody in Germany and you don't win, you have to pay all of their legal fees.
Which is what it should be in Florida.
And attorneys are not allowed to advertise. They can't advertise. In other words, they can't promote people to go out and sue each other. And until we change that, the problem is the American Bar Association and their affiliated attorneys who love to breathe free air, just thought I'd mention that, they spend thousands, if not millions of dollars, well, thousands of dollars apiece, millions in aggregate, promoting certain political candidates who are not going to allow tort reform to take place.
Yes, exactly right.
And so these guys, I mean, you know, some guy gets in an accident. There's nothing wrong with it. He walks away from the accident. He's perfectly fine. 6 months later, his attorney goes, well, you know, we need to send you in for this medical procedure. It may help. And he goes, well, there's nothing wrong with me. Well, I'm going to do a medical procedure. Well, I don't really want to. Well, yeah, you need to do that and make our case stronger.
That literally is what they say. You need to have this procedure now. The last procedure messed me up worse than I was before. Well, no, this one will fix it now. And you got to remember, we got to make sure the bill's high enough so we can get more money. Well, here's the question you got to ask yourself. If you're listening to your attorney about medical advice, you got to ask why. First off, if they're trying to build the case up to make more money, but you're getting more operations that are making you more and more debilitated and more crippled, what's the actual point at the end? Because they're going to get 35, 40% out of it. You're still going to have to pay the medical bills, and you're still going to have to deal with being crippled. Seen it happen multiple times.
Well, a lot of times they'll do experimental stuff. So and then if the doctor does something wrong, then they try to blame it back to the person who they had the accident with. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is unless we reform this and we stop this, it's not going to get any better. It's because there's so many people that are basically financially wiped out because of medical bills and financially wiped out because of legal bills.
Yep.
People don't understand that.
And in Florida, it's become an issue now because most of the insurance companies, State Farm, Geico, all the major ones, all the individuals that handle the small cases, they're authorized at the very bottom to authorize between $10,000 to $15,000 without any oversight at all. That's pretty much standard operating procedure in insurance. I know a lot of insurance adjusters. So what's happened is now these law firms have realized if you get in a car accident, which is not even major, this actually happened to a really good friend of mine. He was in his truck. They were at a red light. And it was my buddy Dexter. He bumped the guy. The guy shot at the red light. He honks the horn. Dexter starts driving. The guy starts driving. The guy hits his brakes on a green light. Dexter bumps him. The guy's having a trailer hitch on his truck. Neither one of the trucks even had damage. It was like the guy gets out and goes, oh, I need to call my attorney. I need to call my attorney. I my neck hurts. They fill out an entire police report. Sure enough, he files a claim with insurance. They pay him out $10,000 like that just to make it go away. Guy never even got hurt. Trucks never even got hurt. There was never any damage to the vehicles. But got $10,000 check like that. That's the problem we have now with the insurance. And it continues to raise the rates, raise the premiums. And everybody's paying obscene amount of money in car insurance now in the state of Florida for this kind of crap.
Well, the same thing happened with those windshields here a while back.
Yeah.
You know, they had a group of people that were charging thousands of dollars to replace windshields. They were having the owner of the car sign off on the because in Florida it's supposed to be free to get your windshield replaced. And the insurance wasn't supposed to go up. Well, some people were starting to do this 3 and 4 times. And, you know, and so they were getting all this extra money in from the insurance. They're getting rebates and everything else and gift cards.
From the companies that were changing windshields, yep.
And so then they had a massive class action lawsuit, you know, because they said, hey, look, you're not paying the bill now.
So now in the state of Florida, they'll replace your windshield under insurance for free under basically comprehensive. But it goes down as an accident against your claim now. So it shows that you have an accident on your insurance history after you get a windshield replaced because it's got a crack in it. The insurance companies couldn't handle it. Now, going back to this with insurance financial rewards to the vaccines, I want to cover this real quick because this ties into HHS. Doctors will no longer receive any financial awards for vaccinating children.
What?
The memo to state health officials. Now, this is from the governmental standpoint. This isn't cutting from insurance yet from Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Oh,
but this is basically the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services says it will not tie payment to performance on immunization quality measures in Medicaid and CHIP at the federal level anymore. Secretary RFK Jr. said the new policy protects medical freedom and informed consent. He said the memo states that health officials, the CMS, does not tie the payment to performance on immunization quality. It stated it will explore options and will strongly encourage informed consent before vaccination and will explore how religious exemptions for vaccination can be accounted for in the data. What's happened here now, he said the directional change comes from CMS is welcome, said RFK Jr. It helps put vaccines back in the category of every other medical intervention, which is where they should be, not being incentivizing doctors to pay money to do a medical procedure.
Some of these pediatric offices get hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for compliance for vaccines.
And now that's on the private sector with Blue Cross Blue Shield, but this is going in and tying into what's going on with Medicaid and CMS.
The government needs to come in and tell Blue Cross Blue Shield they can't do that.
Yeah, anymore. And I think that's the next step RFK Jr.'s addressed, because he said, and what other category do we have financial incentive for a medical intervention? Meaning somebody comes in and goes, my back hurts. Oh, okay, insurance and the state, the government is going to pay the doctor to do surgery on your back voluntarily.
If we have 100%, you know, insurance coverage.
If you have 100% people in your doctor's office getting this back surgery. Everybody would be like, well, that just means everybody would be getting unnecessary back surgery. There's the point. There's the kicker.
And you pay them for that.
You're doing this with a medical intervention. Vaccines were never supposed to be standard operating procedure. Vaccines were there to protect somebody basically with an immunization to protect an individual if they're going to be exposed to a certain disease.
I'm going to give my oncologist $1 million a year if he has 100% of his patients are diagnosed with cancer and given chemotherapy.
There you go. Do you think the chemotherapy rates would go up?
When you think
the cancer rates would go up?
The manufacturers of the chemotherapy make a lot more money?
Yeah.
And I'll say, I'm paying you $1 million a year if you have 100% compliance in chemotherapy for all of your patients that come in, regardless of whether they have cancer or not.
Exactly. It's a medical intervention. Immunizations have always been classified as a medical intervention, yet they're the only item on the board that are medically incentivized financially incentivized to do without any necessary procedures or precautions.
You go to your pediatrician and you say, I'm not going to vaccinate. We will not have you as a patient. Please leave the office.
Yeah, but I don't need chemo. I don't have cancer. Doesn't matter. You're declining chemo. Or I'm doing it regardless.
Or you're leaving,
which I had happen to Lana and Kendall. Lana had a little bit, Kendall had a little bit of bronchitis. This was years back. Our pediatrician that we were going to, our doctor we were going to, was no longer available. So she wanted to go to another one, just basically get her lungs checked out, make sure she was good. And she ended up being fine. But she went to the doctor's office, which was recommended by a friend. Doctor, first thing comes in, does she have all her updated vaccines? Lana goes, no, we decided to have a religious exemption, which she did. She actually brought it with her. And he goes, oh. He starts getting this argument with her about it. She goes, sir, I don't want to argue about this. I just want to check your lungs. He checked her lungs. He goes, well, I will not see her any further. She does not get all the proper vaccines today. And he goes, so you're telling me you're going to decline any future seeing her, any future usage of this because she's not going to get a dozen vaccines today? We'll not see her again unless she gets all the shots. And I said, you will never see me step foot in this office again. Goodbye. And I have done absolutely everything I can to tell everybody I know to avoid this doctor in the state of Florida. And so far, from what I know, it has worked. Because what happens is, when you start having doctors that act like this, completely out the scope of medical ethics, we're not going to see the patient, we're not going to take care of the child, we're not going to try to help them if they don't get all these shots right now.
And they go into shock from all the shots.
Oh, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
You got a 4-year-old girl that's already having inflammation in the lungs, and you got to get 11 shots right now. We're not going to see a post-op, see you again. It's insane.
Well, you know, I remember years ago, you know, we had you, and then 10 years later, we had 3 more kids. I remember we had to go in and get the blue immunization form from the county health department.
Yeah.
I remember I went in there with Harris, and I got, you know, and I basically had to get the blue form because you had to go in there and actually file for it. And then he had to give you a little lecture for like 20 minutes about why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Me too.
No, it's ridiculous. And so then you sit there, and so what I would do, then they'd print me about 100 sheets of paper.
Yeah, they sent to me.
And as soon as they give me the paper, they said, would you understand? Yep. Right in the round file. Put it right in the garbage, right in front of them. And they're like, oh.
When I did, I handed it back to him. I said, save this for the next person. No reason to waste the paper. Well, you're not going to take it with you? I said, no. Just go in the trash. I'm handing it back to you.
No, I just trashed it right in front of him. I go in for the second one. Now we got Alexis, and she, we're running around. Here I'm going again. And she starts to hand me the paperwork. Same girl. And she takes them back. She goes, you going to throw these away again? Yep.
Yeah.
she says, she wouldn't give it to me. Okay. But then the third one comes up. A couple years later, Savannah shows up, and I'm back over there again. And same girl again. And so she has her supervisor come in. Another girl comes in and goes, don't even try to talk to me. You're not going to listen to anything you say.
Waste of time. You're wasting everybody's time.
And they just give me the form. That was it. And so they realized very quickly that I wasn't going to do that. So that's why when I have a discussion like this with you guys, kind of like a fireside chat today, and we start talking about vaccines, I already did what I'm telling you guys that, you know, I did. I didn't vaccinate my kids. And my kids are all super healthy and super smart. You think, well, you think it's just because of the vaccines? Well, you know, it's probably a lot of genetics and good diet and supplements and everything else.
Prenatals, too. Prenatals.
Guys, please. But guys, listen to me. If you're going to have a baby, don't just start and say, I'm going to have a baby this week, this month. Get pregnant.
I'm in the mood to have a baby.
No. Go on a really clean diet for at least 12 months.
Detox, man.
Get the chocolate, get the lead, get all that garbage out of your system, get all the sugar, get all the high fructose corn syrup, get your liver cleaned up, get really cleaned out and really ready to go to have a baby if you're a lady. Because guys aren't, contrary to DEI, guys aren't having babies. And
are you serious?
Oh
no, you don't believe in science.
You know, I mean, if you ask American AI, it'll tell you men can have babies. And you go over there in Germany, you ask it, or China, they say, no, men can't have babies. But, you know, it's unbelievably stupid. Can you believe we say stuff like that? And we actually,
the topic has even come up.
Well, like this lady in Seattle now, this mayor, this communist mayor, right? She's now telling the police not to arrest drug addicts on the street. If they're using drugs.
See me on the street shoot up heroin,
they got
meth.
They got baskets of needles they're picking up now in Seattle.
Well, didn't this happen in San Francisco or San Diego?
Same, yeah. San Diego? It's all but this is in Seattle now, and she's this hardcore communist. We have to put them through intervention as far as we have to get them into a clinic. Now, let me say something. I understand when a person is a heroin addict, they probably need to be in a clinic. I got that. But they got to want to go.
That's true, too.
You know, I had a pastor friend of mine. I'm going to just share some personal stuff with you guys real quick, which I really do too much anyhow, but I'll do it again. And I have a friend of mine who's got a kid who's gay. Okay? And I asked the pastor, I said, can you please pray for him so he decides he's going to start liking girls? And don't send me letters on this. I don't hear it. And then the pastor said to me, he said, it won't work. He said, the Holy Spirit has to convict somebody about their lifestyle before they change it. They have to want to change it. And then you can pray for them. But until they want to change that lifestyle, they're not going to change it if they don't want to. So even if it was a demonic interference with the homosexuality, or demonic interference with the drugs, or demonic interference with whatever you want to have as far as some type of lifestyle choice that you're making that you know you shouldn't do, if you want to do it, you can't cast it out because the demon's not going to be told to go by you, and he'll come back in anyhow. You see this with exorcisms all the time with people from the Catholic Church. They'll sit there and you watch these movies and you hear these accounts. There's one book that was written by Malachi Martin. It was called, I can't read it. Something with the devil. I couldn't even read it. I couldn't get through it. And he's exorcising all of these people. And they're having these huge, huge battles trying to get stuff out of people because the people don't want the things to go. You know, and now if you're Jesus, Austin, that's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, you got the demon act. The guy's possessed with all these demons. He just says, you know, they say, don't just cast us into the pigs. Don't send us into the pit.
You know, there's always an interesting topic with that, because why do they have to go into the pigs? Why can't you just throw them out in general?
Well, because I guess they wanted to have something to inhabit.
What if they don't inhabit? Would they just float around like Casper?
I guess they must. I don't know.
They had to go into something else. That was the weird part.
Well, the thing about it is they have to have some type of...
But pigs don't have a soul.
They have to have some type of place to be. So remember, we're in a holographic energy field.
I've always been intrigued by this story, though, because why couldn't he just throw them back to hell?
Apparently, in order to be in our dimension, they have to be inside of some type of plasma body.
Pigs don't have souls, though.
No, it doesn't matter. I guess they're not after the pigs.
They ran out in the water and died.
Well, the pigs couldn't even deal with it. But now think about it. They said let's cast it to the pigs. Why would that happen? Here's a little bit of health stuff for you. Pigs are unclean meat. God says don't eat the pigs.
Could he not cast them into clean meat?
Probably could if he wanted to, but the point was they wanted to go into the pigs.
That's interesting, though. Mm-hmm. But would he have done it if they said, you know, basically throw us into those herd of deer? Would he have done it because they're clean?
Probably not. I don't know. But the whole thing about it is, if you think about it, like likes like.
Yeah.
Like in organic chemistry, you learned that like dissolves like. You know, gasoline to dissolve oil.
Correct.
And so these entities wanted to go into the pigs, which were like them, the unclean. Now, think about that for a second. So let me ask you.
They're scavengers.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Does Satan want you to be healthy? The answer is no, in case you need the cliff notes on this. And the Bible says he comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy.
That's true.
So does Satan want you to eat pork? Yeah. Does Satan want you to eat shellfish? Yeah. Does Satan want you to eat eels and all kinds of weird stuff? And does he want you to go eat rats? I mean, the answer is yeah. Well, why would he do that? Well, because all these things are forbidden by God. They're all unclean, and they'll all make you sick. Sure. If he's coming to rob, kill, steal, and destroy, he doesn't want you healthy. So that's the whole point of all of that thing, and that's why that's really interesting. He throws those into the pigs. The pigs go berserk. They run down the street.
Right.
And there were thousands of pigs. Thousands. Right. There were about 2,000 of them, and they ran down the steep bank and ground themselves.
He doesn't say throw some of those herd of cows or grass-fed bison.
And the pigs were being raised back then for the Romans.
Correct.
The Jews weren't eating pig.
No.
So they were like, this is a big deal. This is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because they were being raised for
slaughter.
They were being raised for slaughter to the Romans, and the Jews weren't going to eat them. So now the Jews that were raising the pigs, or the Romans who were raising the pigs, were all mad. They told Jesus to leave the area because he had messed with their commerce again. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil again, isn't it?
That's the money again.
But that's why I ask yourself a question. Does God want you to eat food that he knows is going to kill you? Well, he said it this way. Don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple and God's spirit lives within you? And if you destroy God's temple, he'll destroy you. So the point is, if you eat foods that are going to be toxic to you, now they're going to be right back to being pregnant. If you're going to be pregnant, you might want to cut out the pork just for parasite standpoint, right? For trichina. If you're going to be pregnant, you might not want to have the cat litter box in the house. You might want to keep the cat outside because of, toxoplasmosis if you're pregnant. It could pass right into the brain of the baby with brain parasite into the child being developed. All of this stuff is in the Bible and in Deuteronomy and in Genesis and Exodus and all the rest as far as the laws that God gave the Jews who were at that point trying to be obedient in some cases, not all of them. They still don't to this day. And most of them don't even follow the Old Testament laws anyhow. I remember one time I was having a dinner in China, and there was this Jew psychiatrist.
Dinner in China?
Yeah, we got off the ship, and we were having dinner in China, and this is a funny story. I'm going to tell you the story. So I'm sitting at the table, with Sharon, and we were ordering stuff, and I asked them, I said, they had a bunch of pork on the menu, and I said, I don't eat pork. I told the waiter that. And then there was a Jewish psychiatrist sitting across from me, and told me later he's Jewish. So he was a psychiatrist, he's Jewish. And he said to me, he goes, why don't you eat pork? And I'm like, because the Bible says don't eat pork, and plus the World Health Organization said it's the number one cause of cancer globally. Oh, no, the Bible doesn't mean that. The Torah doesn't mean that. And I'm like, dude, I've read it enough. And he's looking at me. Now, what he's doing is he's messing with me. He's trying to see how he can mess with my head a little bit. And he goes, as long as the rabbi blesses the pork, it's fine. That's what he said.
That's not even historically accurate.
No. And I looked at him, I said, you go ahead and eat your pork as much as you want. I said, I don't even believe that you believe that. I said, but I'm not going to eat pork. And I looked at him, I started laughing, and I said, I seem to be following God's dietary guidelines better than you do. And it was kind of funny because then he kind of chuckled. But the point was, they were messing with me because they couldn't understand why a Christian would not be eating pork based upon God's word. And see, that's a problem that I have because in the churches, the preachers aren't preaching that, are they? I know preachers that got up and told people to take the COVID shot.
Yeah.
I know preachers that have got up and told you eat pork if you want to eat pork, to basically pray over it and eat it, and basically it's clean. It's not. It doesn't work that way. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 says, don't you know that the Spirit says in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons? Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry. They order them to abstain from certain meats or foods that God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good if it's received with thanksgiving. And I'm paraphrasing that because I'm doing it by memory. The truth of the matter is when it uses the word broma, B-R-O-M-A, for foods that are okay to eat, and that means foods sanctified according to Levitical law. I said that really fast. may have to go be slow me down on that one a little bit. But what the problem is that they were telling people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament way back when that as long as they prayed over and ate, it'd be okay. And Paul says, no, that's not okay. It has to be sanctified by the broma, by the word of God. And then it's okay. You can't just start praying over dead carrion on the side of the road. You can't have a raccoon that's rotted full of maggots and say, oh, I'm going to pray over this and eat it now.
That's a disgusting
visual. No, I'm being really graphic with you guys there. You can't. That's why so many of these missionaries go to other third world countries. Also, they come back infested with parasites. I saw it in my clinic. We had this one lady named Beth. Man, she has so many parasites. It was unbelievable. I mean, there were many
that's
of.
We have the parasite cleanse for.
Yeah.
Anyways,
but no, but that,
that's
no,
kind of what
but because she was told pray over and eat it.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what it was.
No, that's very.
So
well, you know, the thing is, I've never understood as far as eating scavengers, especially on a regular basis with hogs. I've gone hog hunting numerous times. You know, wild hogs are disgusting. You're not driving down the side of the road, right? And you see a bunch of vultures that are eating some roadkill, and you go, man, those vultures be good. I'd like to meet some vulture thighs tonight.
Mm.
I've never said that. You might have. I mean, maybe in an apocalyptic scenario, there's nothing left to eat. But I don't know if I'd even risk it.
I'd rather just go to heaven.
Yeah. I'd start, you know, hunting rabbits or something. At least that's cleaner eating vultures.
I'd rather do that and be eaten internally by parasites.
Yeah. So the topic of the matter is there's certain animals for certain processes on Earth. The ecosystem works that way. You know, circle of life, the old Lion King song. The way it works like that is for a specific reason. There's certain animals to clean up certain things, and they're scavengers for a reason. Let me get into this topic. This is coming up now. And this is
don't eat pork, is what we're trying to say.
Getting more and more discussions. GLP-1 skinny jabs, rapid weight loss, but what is the cost now as more intel starts coming out about the side effects? They said by the year 2030, more than 40% of the adults in the UK are predicted to be obese. The figure in the U.S. will be nearly 50%.
That's more than that.
While these numbers are startling, projections are showing by the same time the global population of obese adults will exceed over 1 billion. Meaning a seventh of the population is going to be morbidly obese. This is just the numbers they're coming up with here. This is the biggest single risk factor. This is type 2 diabetes. Contributes to heart disease, stroke, cancers, digestive, liver, kidney conditions. Addressing obesity is critical for optimal health. So again, the approval of this drug, these GLP-1s with Ozempic and Wegovy and certain ones like that now, have become very, very popular. In response to the growing demand, governments have moved to expand access. The UK phased rollout and funding of these drugs, Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, are framed as efforts to improve affordability and accessibility. Now they're coming out with GLP-1 oral. You don't take the injection of Wegovy. That says, how does it work, and what are the side effects, though, and the unreported risks that are starting to come about. It says gastrointestinal problems are the most frequently reported adverse events, including vomiting, diarrhea, bloating, persistent acid reflux. For many people, persistent reflux then leads to proton pump inhibitor prescriptions, which is now becoming very, 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 very common. I've been hearing now from people that go on GLP-1s, they start having acid reflux, so they go on PPIs, which then decreases your ability to absorb a lot of nutrients. It starts causing more issues with digestive problems, which is a second medication, which is another whole set of risks. And the biggest one they're saying here is they're looking at over 2 million patients. They found that GLP-1 users had double the risk of acute pancreatitis. This is a big one now.
That is painful, boy.
This is a big one. And they're now saying, what's the other one? Well, it's basically the pancreas starts to die.
Yeah.
Necrosis of the pancreas. Yes, that's another one that's coming out now. It says this loss of fat-free muscle mass massively impairs metabolic health. The loss of vast numbers of mitochondria, reducing strength and bone density, weakens immunity, and accelerates frailty, particularly in older adults. So what's happening is now is treating the symptom but not the root. Meaning, all you have to do is start cutting out high fructose corn syrup. Stop cutting out all the pasta and pizza and sugar.
I'm thinking through while you're talking here, and I'm my little brain's just going on. You know,
yeah, big brain.
I do have a giant German brain.
Yeah, it's not a small brain,
and
it's a very effective brain.
Thank you, my friend. but what's funny is you think about it for a second. Let's say, for instance, here we've got the synagogue of Satan.
Don't touch my purple sticks with that. Yeah,
here we go. The synagogue of Satan. And the synagogue of Satan goes, because Jesus calls them out twice in the book of Revelation.
Correct.
Now, you can do what you want to do with this.
And John 8.
By the way, just don't get mad at me. If you want to get mad at God, go ahead and get mad at God. But I'm not God. He's the one who wrote it. And he's tall. He calls them the synagogue
of Satan. John 8 is Jesus' words.
Okay, so here's the thing. So here's the synagogue of Satan. They go, you know, this planet, this is interesting. You know, we love our money. So we got to try to figure out how to get more money. And we already own the planet. Okay.
much.
Now we're up in orbit. We're lighting our cigars with, you know, $1,000 bills, and we're thinking to ourselves, how can we increase the agreed factor here? Oh, I got an idea. Since we've got the goyim down here, these cattle that we've got, why don't we put them in a feedlot, and we know they'll really fatten up with high fructose corn syrup. Oh, yeah. Well, we own all the manufacturing plants.
We'll start adding it to everything.
We'll start adding it to everything, and then we'll make sure we throw some glyphosate in it. Okay? And
ruin gut health.
That way we can trash out the intestinal tract. We can ruin the gut health. We can ruin the liver. We can ruin the stomach. And when we do that, we'll make them obese. Now, what we'll do is we'll come up with some of these other drugs that'll basically reduce the amount of insulin in their body, and we make money on that too. And the coolest part about this is then we give them pancreatitis on top of everything else, and they start losing mitochondria, and they get really, really sick. Then we get to throw them into our medical industrial complex as far as drugs. More drugs, more drugs. And then we get to put them on diabetes drugs. Oh, this is unbelievable. You talk about a cash cow, and then what we'll do is we'll tell them if they incentivize the doctors to basically inject all of these little goyim brat children with vaccines, and we can cause more kids to have autism, we make even more money on the autism treatment drugs. So then what we'll do is if they get 100%, we'll give them another $500,000 a year to their practice, because we're going to make $4 to $5 million out of that deal. Okay, because we're going to make all this extra money from all these extra drugs, from all this extra stuff. And then what we'll do, we'll go ahead and get involved with the attorneys. And we'll make sure that we get enough of them that we're going to sue all the other doctors and sue all the other people. And then we get a big chunk of that, too. So we can basically control the entire planet, make them sick as we want to do, sue them into oblivion, and then keep all the money ourselves. And then we get to send them all to hell when we get done with them. And then we get to feast on their souls for the rest of eternity. What kind of crap is this?
Austin, it's Tuesday. It's too early in the week.
No, you think about that for a second.
Oh,
as Satan runs about as a roaring lion, thinking about who he may devour, he may not devour us because we are sanctified by the blood of Christ. Think about this for a second. How they have completely and totally come onto this planet, Austin, and they have completely manipulated everything. You know, the guy now in Colombia rages. The president says, "President rages, come get me, Trump. I'm waiting." In a huge taunt to Trump. Trump goes, "Yeah, another one. Let's do another one." You know, because here's the problem. When you've got Donald Trump running around controlling the military, and he gets pissed off like he did with Venezuela, or he's being told what to do by the same synagogue of Satan, he's going to go in here and he's going to basically do what he needs to do as far as taking you out.
Jeff told me they'd have put 150 fighter jets and aircrafts for that raid. They've circled the entire country of Venezuela.
Well, Mike told me that he saw that troop transport plane fly over Mar-a-Lago.
I wouldn't doubt that, but he said they had 150 aircraft in the air during that raid. That's from a retired contractor. And the thing he told me last night is
and by the way, the Chinese stealth radar system that's supposed to pick up all stealth planes completely overwhelmed it and totally failed.
Yeah. And I told you guys the last couple of months, I was absolutely against another war in Venezuela. That's the last thing.
Afghanistan.
I had so many guys I knew come back from Fallujah that have never been the same. A lot of committed suicide. And when I talked to Jeff last night, he told me, he said, one thing that everybody in the military is really ecstatic for is this didn't turn into another Afghanistan boondoggle. And we go invade Venezuela, and basically go to war, do a bunch of IEDs, fight these guys for the next 20 years, and then pull out and say, whoopsie, we screwed the pooch on the left. He said, at least it was a clean cut. We run the country now. And he goes, it's imperialism at its finest. Who's got the biggest guns wins. That's what it is.
End of the Treaty of Westphalia. No more international rules, no international
laws. Yeah, that's what it used to be. I mean, that's why the Roman Empire got so good. Don't agree with all of it. It's not my favorite move. But at the end of the day, I am just glad we're not going to have some massive, massive occupation of another country where everybody's going to be dying with IEDs.
Well, what happened is the synagogue of Satan, who controls politics globally, geopolitical, everything, you know, with Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, yeah.
520, 30, you know, nothing and you'll be happy. That guy runs around in a wedding dress on the beach. God, that guy's a perv. And the problem with him is, and all the rest of these guys are, is they're all controlled by the same groups. They're all controlled by the international money market people. And so when you understand that and you start to realize that they make decisions, then they make bad decisions, they make good decisions, but it's all based on one thing. How much money can I get?
Now we've just
taken over the largest oil reserves in the world.
The main boy is always greed. But the thing that I've looked at now and I've watched this from a psychological standpoint is these guys base a lot of their decisions now off algorithms from public feedback. This is a big thing that's happening.
It's true.
They're basing their decisions because they know if the public is diametrically opposed in a massive whole, 80 to 90% of the population absolutely does not approve of it, it becomes very difficult for them to continue to push their propaganda because of social media. Everybody starts putting out bad comments. Everybody starts making posts. Everybody starts blowing the lid off of it. Everybody starts criticizing what they're doing. And it's very hard to control a population that's unbelievably pissed off at you all the time. It is. So what they've done now is they use the algorithms of social media to try to keep public perception in the direction they want it to go. They knew, because everybody on social media, pretty much everybody I knew, was diametrically opposed to another war in the Middle East.
We all were.
Everybody was. We saw what happened in the Middle East, and it was a nightmare. Everybody got affected by that. Friends, family, brothers, sisters, loved ones, dad. That ruined so many lives over there.
Afghanistan.
In Middle East and Afghanistan and Iraq.
Look at Gaza.
In the United States. It happened to everybody. It affected the entire world in a negative light for no reason whatsoever. And so when you have this level of military power and you want to take something over, at least they did it clean.
Now, well, nobody wants to be living in Gaza.
No.
If we turn Venezuela into Gaza, number one, there's no oil infrastructure left.
No.
You know, and we kill too many people.
Well, one thing about it is over the next 3 to 5 years, Venezuela is going to start getting a lot of money injected into them.
Venezuela will be one of the top countries in South America because we're going to be under basically doing it. But if you think about it for a second, though, all of these different things that are being done around us are being controlled by the AI algorithm.
That's exactly
what you
right.
said. Because I've told you guys before, you know, it's so funny. We'll talk about certain things on the show. Okay. And then about within a week, it's on Drudge.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
on Daily Mail.
Okay, because this show is huge, by the way. And so what happens
is, we get stuff out here early. I try to get stuff early and get it out.
And so the problem is that, you know, when you realize that we're in an AI hive mind now because of what's going on with 5G and 6G, and because everything's being monitored, when you start putting stuff out on a big platform like we have, or like Candace Owens has, okay, or, you know, Charlie Kirk had, all of a sudden things start changing around you.
It all does. And
all of a sudden the AI algorithm, which is controlled by Lucifer through a D-Wave computer, probably in another dimension, goes, you know what? There's too much of this stuff now getting traction. We got to back out. In other words, Donald Trump goes, you know what? Here's what the algorithm says. If we go into Venezuela, troops on the ground, and we basically come in
go
there.
Go full war.
You know, this is going to be awful. You know, we're going to lose the House. We're going to lose the Senate. We're going to lose everything. Okay? AI algorithm, you don't believe that? I think I'm going to buy TikTok.
Yeah.
Too much garbage is going out there about Charlie Kirk. And too many people trying to link it to Israel. And so we can't let that happen. We're going to go ahead and buy TikTok. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Whatever. They already did. And so they get to control the algorithm from TikTok. And then we get to say it's a Chinese website. It's spying on the United States. And we give it to Israel.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, why do we keep it ourselves?
The most trustworthy Middle Eastern country in the entire world. It's our greatest ally. Now, Trump now is responding to criticism about Greenland and Denmark. He says now, asked by a reporter, Trump said, let's talk about Greenland in about 20 days. We need Greenland from national security situation. It's so strategic right now. And Greenland, quite frankly, like I said earlier, I think Greenland would be pretty stoked to be part of the United States.
Well, some people would over there. Some people don't want to.
A, you're getting the First Amendment. B, you're getting the Second Amendment. I guess in Greenland, though, nobody really cares. It's like 200,000 people in the whole country.
Well, they don't have a central bank. Remember that. They got rid of it. They have a Rothschild.
There you go. Now you know why they want to buy the country.
And by the way, Trump threatens hit Iran very hard if more protesters are killed. A supreme leader said to be prepared to flee. You know, here's the
thing. Okay, now do that with Israel. Oh. We plan to hit Israel really hard if they keep executing civilians in Gaza. Ooh. Why can't we turn it that way? That's right. I'm not allowed to say that,
I felt a shudder go through the whole audience.
Oh, I felt it. I felt everybody look at me.
Me too.
Everybody goes, you can't say that, Austin. I just did. I just shouldn't flip it that way. Oh, it's all the Christians just said, you can't say that, Austin. That's taboo. Forbidden.
Well, here's the thing. We've got Mossad implanted all over Iran.
Oh, God.
By the way, killing civilians.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but let's go ahead and blame that on the people and the leadership of Iran so we can overthrow that government, too.
And I am not an Iran supporter. I am not over there saying I sympathize with them, but I am saying this. The Mossad is the most covert intelligence operation in the entire world, and why don't we flip it that way again? Oh, if Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, they won't stop killing civilians in Gaza, then we're going to basically start invading Israel. We can't do that. You literally can't do that. Oh, we can do it in Iran, though. This is stupid. It's rules for thee, but not for me.
We're gonna do Colombia. We're gonna do Cuba. We're gonna do Greenland. We've already done Venezuela. Might as well, you know, just
if we're gonna do it, we just need to take a swath. We should go down and just take over Mexico and just go down South America.
You know, we used to be before the internet. We could go. We've overthrown 60 countries now with our CIA taking the lead.
We literally have.
So we just did it with Venezuela. But the problem is they can't hide it anymore because of the internet. Back with Operation Condor,
okay,
and Operation Gladio.
Regime change. We don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened down there. But now all of a sudden they can't hide it because everybody talks about it all the time. And so now we have to have another reason to do it. Oh, they have fentanyl on fishing boats.
And I told you, that's why I said yesterday. I said if they would just come out and said, listen, we need to stabilize the petrodollar. The U.S. dollar is collapsing. That's why metals are hyperinflating right now, almost to a level we've never seen before as far as rate this up. We need more oil. We need to control the model more. The bankers want it. We're going to take over Venezuela. I'd have been like, I'm not going to stop you. Like, okay. Well, they got fentanyl factories. I got fentanyl. China's the number one producer of fentanyl in the entire world.
Well, we ain't going to step into China so easy.
No.
And plus, remember, China's also controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, too.
You see, we only want countries that don't. If you've noticed this, we only want to invade countries that don't have a Rothschild banking cartel. That's it. Iraq didn't have one. Afghanistan, Libya didn't have one.
In Venezuela, they had tightened up the constraints on the M1 money supply down there, and so they still wouldn't comply to what they were supposed to do. And so they were running supposedly drugs, which, quite frankly, they're right next to Colombia, so they probably could have run some drugs.
Everybody, it's South America. It's Mexico. Everybody runs drugs down there. It's all that's like number one commerce. Let's be real.
Not in every country, but most
a lot of them. It's just ridiculous. So, want the oil, you want the oil. Just be honest about what you're doing with it. This is another article, too, I had here. Where was I pulling up? How social media, this is what I talked about earlier, how social media has turned medical science into a battlefield now. And a lot more people are becoming vocal. Instead of fostering informed dialogue, social media's great environment where opinions clash and algorithms amplify the most extreme polarized voices. And it talks about here now, the one thing about this that I like is what it's saying here is social media now has brought many topics that were taboo, like we just talked about at the beginning of the show, like vaccines or aspartame, to the forefront, to the mainstream of people's posts, where they see it now and they go, you can't ignore it anymore. Because before, like when you had radio and all these other different platforms that are very controlled and moderated, you couldn't bring this stuff up like they did with censoring him all the time. Don't talk about aspartame. Don't talk about vaccines. Well, now there's not. You can't really do that anymore. Social media only has so much control over topics. And so a lot of people are bringing topics up all the time. It says the good of this is that knowledge is finally reaching everyone. Patients with rare diseases once felt isolated in their suffering. They can now connect with another through forums and support groups. On a global scale, physicians are able to consult one another, sharing different types of patterns of treatment. During public health crisis, information sharing on social media was even more critical. Except that was the first time we saw social media get so censored. It was insane. It was during COVID. Where they told everybody, you can't talk about D3.
Arrested people.
Mm-hmm. Can't talk about vitamin C. Well, vitamin C is great for the immune system. Yeah, vitamin C is great for the immune system. Can't talk about it. You're banned. You're banned. It was like the Oprah social media banning. It's like, you're getting banned, you're getting banned, everybody gets banned now. And like, we can't even talk about anything. That's the problem that you have with these platforms. And that's why we started doing this show completely independent. No ads, no sponsors, no pharmaceutical commercials. Listen, if we ever start playing pharmaceutical commercials on this show live, It happened to us. We got taken over.
I remember I had a guest on one day, and he started promoting that the GLP things, you know. And I said, yeah, probably not on this show, bud.
No.
And that was crazy. You guys, have you heard the show? But
that's what I talked yesterday, because I have so many people that call me up about this because they are trying to lose weight. They are trying to make a difference. And the biggest thing I'll tell you, if you're trying to do that, first thing you got to do is change your diet. But if they're talking about GLP-1s and they're pushing on them, then go ahead and run the berberine and the cinnamon extract. Try that first. Get your, because it has almost the exact same response from a positive standpoint with blood sugar on the body, except it has no side effects whatsoever.
Or insulin, yep.
So, again, try those first from a natural standpoint before you start injecting yourself with the stuff that you know is being directly. There's almost two or three billion dollar class action with Novo Nordisk.
You know, the GLPs, think about this for a second. You don't have a deficiency of GLPs.
No.
It's not a nutrient.
No.
It's a drug. And all it's trying to do is combat what you're doing from a dietary standpoint to allow you to continue to do the dietary standpoint garbage to yourself and then try to combat it. In other words, if you just get rid of the horrible diet. But again, you got to remember the boys that breathe the free air, the Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan, Austin, they control all of this stuff.
And that's why we try to bring the topics to discussion. Here's the baseline of this. It says a healthier way forward to rebuilding is not medicating. It's health. Let's be honest and real. Losing large amounts of weight isn't easy, and it doesn't happen overnight. For many people, it's emotionally exhausting, physically challenging, charged by underlying emotional trauma, and shaped by years, decades of frustration. That can happen. It says the appeal to GLP-1 sits squarely within the struggle. They offer hope when people feel scarce. Health cannot be injected. Sustainable weight loss is not about fighting the body into submission. It's about working with it. That's a really well said topic. While medications produce rapid results, they do not repair the metabolic nutritional lifestyle foundations that drive long-term health. Pharmaceuticals can create a short-term weight loss, but it comes with potential long-term risk. Natural approaches that work with your body, speaking directly to your genetic blueprint, offers really sustainable solutions. Prioritizing whole, minimally processed foods, eating adequate amounts of good protein and fiber, reducing sugars, stay fully hydrated, moving daily, exercising and building muscle, getting a good amount of sleep, managing stress and emotional health, restoring healthy relationships with food and often one's own body. You start looking at food as a tool, not a crutch. I'm eating this for a specific purpose, not just because I want it to taste good. Just like you said earlier, if you want to go to Five Guys occasionally and have a burger, go get a burger. If you really want to cut the calories down, split a burger with somebody. You still get to have a burger once a month or whenever you want to do it, and you're not getting a burger with a large fry and a large milkshake. That's what gets you really, really fat.
It does.
It does. Because you're eating about 3,000 calories in one sitting.
And if you really want to do it, go to a pizza place and go ahead and get a large pizza with double extra cheese, double extra beef, double extra pork, and then make sure you drink a bunch of soda.
Two liters of soda, high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
So there's ways to still have a cheat meal. There's ways to still enjoy some of those cheat foods, but you don't have to make it your staples, your daily aspects
of
food.
If you get a pizza, order one that's basically cauliflower crust.
Or thin crust, even though it's got glyphosate in the bread. Get
the cauliflower crust, no bread, and just get some extra toppings on it that are high protein, like chicken and beef, and be done with it. And split it with somebody, but don't be going and getting the deep dish pan pizza with doggone,
cheese crust.
That one guy that we knew, that he's a great guy, smart dude, but he couldn't control his diet. He weighed like 500 pounds, and I remember he was a chiropractor, and I remember he had to quit the chiropractic because he couldn't walk anymore. He got so crippled up from the weight. And but he would literally go, what was it, two pizzas or
two XLs from, what was it, Little Caesars or Papa John's, big ones, and then a 2 liter of soda. That was lunch. He said, he flat out said, he goes, that's my lunch every day. I'm addicted to that. I love it. Two XL cheese pizzas and a 2 liter of soda. And I'm like, I just sit there and actually write it down, the calories on that. So I think it was around 10,000 calories for that meal. And I'm like,
well, he was 500 pounds though.
Yeah, you can't maintain that kind of weight without any enormous caloric intake.
No, by the way, that's why they say, well, I don't eat anything. That's not true. If you're walking around with a 60-inch waist, you eat a lot. Just thought I'd mention that. A growing list of Democratic billionaire kings and queens funnel millions into terror-tied nonprofits. Again, this is the George Soros group and all of the little lackeys with him who basically come back in and say, we want to control the entire world through socialism and through Cloward and Piven. Let's go ahead and overwhelm the social welfare system, which they've already done to the United States. And so now the United States got a big reprieve, though, by basically absorbing and stealing the largest oil reserves in the world. Just call it what it is. Hopefully we get our diesel fuel back under $1 a gallon. That would be great.
That would actually be nice.
That would really stimulate the economy, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. What's it? People have no idea how impactful diesel fuel prices are on the entire market. When diesel goes up to $5 a gallon, every single thing you touch or buy goes up, I mean, like 30, 40, 50%. I know. I deal with transportation all the time. Diesel goes down to a dollar a gallon?
I think I read this one time, it's like every dollar a barrel goes up, it takes like $5 or $50 billion out of the economy.
Yeah,
because you've got to pay all of the truck drivers, you got to pay all of the manufacturers, if you got diesel back down, let's say 60 cents a gallon, which is
about, oh my gosh,
oh my,
and, even 99 cents a gallon.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that would still be insane. You fill up
an RV with a 150 gallon diesel tank, and it costs you $75. You could be traveling everywhere.
Guess what? Everybody goes on vacation.
Yeah,
when people have more fuel, more money, then they go out to eat more often. Mm-hmm. They go buy more things. They go travel more places. They go do more stuff. If diesel fuel, because, I mean, the world runs on diesel, whether you want to or not. The barges, the trucks, everything's on diesel-based diesel. And so when you start getting the transportation down, food prices come down. Everything comes down. And that's the one topic that I don't understand is Trump wants to bring up all these, we're bringing food prices, we're doing this, we're doing this. The overall main goal for the base of the economy, I said this repeatedly, they should be focused on getting diesel fuel under a dollar a gallon. I've talked about it for years.
But if you think about it for a second, you got diesel fuel under a dollar a gallon. Okay, we're going to stimulate the economy. And what we have to do, though, we have to get rid of EV vehicles first.
Yeah.
We already did that, didn't we? All the government subsidies stopped because the EV vehicles did not do what they were supposed to. They basically crippled the infrastructure of the power grid.
And they drove the price of doggone fuel up, too.
And then they're running diesel generators to charge the EV vehicles.
I love that one. There's a place in Orlando. We made fun of it. It was downtown Orlando. We had a car meet there one day. And next door, they had this huge, huge Tesla charging station, like 40 charging stations. They had this massive, like, I'm talking full, like, Amazon-sized diesel generator on the backside of the lot to basically power up the vehicles if they had an overload from the power grid they couldn't handle. Giant diesel generator. And we're all looking at it, and everybody's in cars, trucks, and we're laughing. I'm like, does anybody else see the irony of this picture right now?
Take a photo of this. We just took the largest oil reserves in the world over, and now we're getting rid of EV vehicles.
Yeah.
Why don't we think through that one for a second?
Yeah.
I mean, because all of a sudden, like, no more EVs for you. Okay, all right.
Well, they're a market that some people want. Totally cool. Like capitalism.
Golf cart.
If you want it, cool. But going around and saying what they did with that Biden bill, we're taking hundreds of billions of dollars and we're putting in this green energy deal. So we're taking taxpayer dollars and forcing taxpayers to subsidize people to buy EV vehicles to run the electric grid up. And run the power prices
up. It didn't work.
It didn't work at all.
Because now they don't have the money for the AI systems. Whoever thought through this 10, 15, 20 years ago didn't think through it. Because usually they plan better than
that. Well, and here's the problem now, too. Now you've got, like, Ford. Ford's got this massive battery manufacturing system that they're not having to sell. They're selling the entire facility they built 3 years ago. Because the electric cars failed. The F-150 Lightning is completely done. The Porsche Cayenne, or the Taycan. That thing is almost bankrupted Porsche.
Porsche profits are down 99%.
Mercedes came out and said, we're not doing EVs. We're stepping away from them. We're just stepping out of that market. Remember, they were going to turn the G-Wagon into a full EV.
They were.
They had full plan. The G-Wagon was going to go EV by 2030.
Not heavy enough yet. You got to make it heavier.
Yeah. It's just 7,000 pounds. We need 10,000 pounds. Like the Cybertruck. Cybertruck's like 10,000 pounds.
How do you take a G-Wagon, which can be submerged underwater with a snorkel, and keep the batteries dry on it without them exploding?
Oh, yeah. That's the best thing. So when they get wet, they catch on fire. So I got my troop transport. We're going to forge 18 inches of water. We're on fire now.
I bought a used one of those about 15 years ago.
Cool truck.
I drove it out of Lake.
You drove that thing for like a year and a half. Yeah. You got what you paid for.
I got more than I paid for it. The crazy thing, I drove it out of Lake one day. Because something was floating around. It was a couple feet of water. It wasn't much. Because I want to see what it would do. And it fell into a fish hole on my left-hand side.
I think it was fully sealed.
It was fully sealed. And the window had that much water in it. I could see the fish swimming around outside. It was tilted like this sideways. Well, thank God.
The air intake
did not go into the water by the grace of God. And I drove it out. And it covered in lake slime and weeds. Sharon's looking at me. We were on the way to church. She goes, I can't believe you just did that. I had to go rinse the thing off. But that thing... That everything in that was sealed for underwater. You could put a snorkel
on
snorkel on that truck and drive it underwater.
Now, that was the older one, though. That was in the 2000s. I don't know if the brand new
it was
a 2000.
It was 2009. 2009. Yeah. And I remember I bought that thing used and so kept it a year and sold it for more than I paid for.
I remember that.
But that
was the old one, though. Those actually held really well. The new ones, because the price jumps all around on them. They're all over the place. And they got too expensive.
Oh, yeah, they're too expensive.
They're too expensive. Those old ones were for good quality vehicles when Mercedes actually made quality, those reliable. Those old ones, that's why they still hold so strong now. Because the new ones get doggone lemon lawed all the time. Constantly having problems. I got a buddy that has a 2022 G-Wagon. It's been in the shop for 4 months. They're now completely rebuilding the engine on it. Just nothing but problems with the new one. That's the new ones. Now the old ones are like they're NATO troop transport, baby.
But it was
Deutschland.
It was a G. It was a 550. It had the 500 horsepower engine.
Supercharged.
Had side pipes on it.
Fuel hog.
Eight miles per gallon.
I took it to pick up somebody at the airport one day. I went to the airport.
Airport's 35 miles away.
It filled up an entire. Took an entire tank. That ground was running pretty fast.
And you're running ridiculously fast. But it would
allegedly
supposedly
handle fine though. It's just a fun truck.
We're out of time. Hey, guys, you know, one of those shows today that I'm not really sure how to classify this show. I love you. I know how to say that. Stay with God's word. For God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Eat clean, right? Do what God says as far as Bible. You know, I mean, a lot of people, they argue with me all the time. I'm going to eat my pork. I like my pork. And they got all kinds of health problems. They're always sick. There's something always wrong with their heart. There's something wrong with their thyroid. There's always something wrong with them, but they eat their pork. Why? Why do you want to do that? When God says, don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple and the Spirit lives within you, and if you destroy his temple, he'll destroy you. Why do you want to test him like that? Just eat clean. Eat good clean. Eat wild salmon. You know, eat deer meat. You know, eat have a good steak. But don't be
venison's good.
Don't be eating
elk's great.
Don't be
bison's
don't be
awesome.
Stuff you got to scrape the parasites off. That's just not okay.
And if you guys need to stack anything with a fat burner kit, I had somebody ask me about this the other day. What these products do with blood sugar and burning body fat's incredible. If you're trying to reset your thyroid and get it really spooled back up again, this thyroid support formula.
That's great.
Forget about it. It's really good. It's really strong. I don't take it very much. My thyroid's already very, very active. But if you need it to really kickstart and get that T4 to T3 super high and your thyroid function to the roof, this is the product for that. So check it out, healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out the specials that we have. A lot of emails going out this week. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Stay healthy. Stay strong. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Keep your hearts and minds in Jesus all the days of your life. I love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.